we're going to do something really different. You know, I tell you, I tell you, come expecting and you never know what to expect. Well, you didn't expect this. You know, we are unique in that it's becoming more and more normal at some of the non-denominational churches that they have preaching teams. And here, you don't come and volunteer to be on the preaching team. There are people that attended this church that preached in other places, and they were here 12 years. And then one day God said, ask them to bring a message. And I did. And then there were some that came through a class that I had many years ago, some training called Preachers Forum. And they went through that for 9 weeks. And out of that class, many people were in it just to help them to present things to other people in a way that, you know, people could receive more easily. But a few of those, John Archer was one of them, became on the preaching team. Right now we have a preaching team that consists of me, Kirk, Cammy, Dan. David comes as a special guest on and off, Cammy's husband, Dr. David Stone, who actually did revivals when he was young before he became a medical doctor. Have I missed somebody? Did I miss any of our preaching team? And if John comes back in town, he'll be preaching. He's in New Mexico right now. He was in Mexico a little while. He's back and forth between Mexico and New Mexico. But a few Sundays ago, some of the young adults, unbeknownst to me, were assigned by Dan to bring a 5 to 10 minute sermon just for their peers. And I go, can I come? And so I showed up on that Sunday afternoon after lunch and sat in a chair and listened, and I loved it. And because I loved it, I want y'all to get to hear it too. So we had 6 different people that shared. We're going to have 3 this morning, and maybe in about another month, we'll have 3 again. And so we're giving the preaching team and the pastoral staff a break, and we're going to just let some of our young adults share some things that God has put on their heart for their assignment. And I thought they aced the assignment. Without going to preacher's forum, without having any training, without Dan giving them any tips, they came up here and blew me away. And so, Vic, we're going to start with you. And come on up. This is Vic Yin. You're going to be here. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions first. How long have you known the Lord?
Going on 3 years now.
What kind of family, what kind of background did you come from?
Buddhist.
Buddhist. Buddhist background. And now you're serving?
I'm serving the Lord.
And, you know, his family is still
Buddhist.
Yes. Okay. And so we talked last time Vic came up here, he had prayed for someone at work and they got healed. Their shoulder got healed, right? And I said, are you a healing evangelist? Do people ask you to come speak? He goes, no. I go, but you pray for people when you're out? And he goes, yes. And that's what we're going to do on Saturday the 21st. But he just went to Pennsylvania. Yep. And what happened there?
Yeah. So specifically, we went to Philadelphia. Me, Ariana, her husband and our friend. And we went to my grandparents' house. This was like the last day. And keep in mind, again, they're Buddhist. They're 100% Buddhist. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in healing, any of that. If anything, they have shrines in the middle of their living room, you know, worshiping other gods and even praying for ancestors that have passed. Mm-hmm. But essentially, my grandpa tells me, hey, my shoulder's hurting. And this is something that he's been dealing with for like a few months now. And so I'm like, okay, let me pray for it. You know, I'm still very young in my faith. So I'm very confident. I've seen healings before. So I'm nonchalant about it. Let me pray for you. And he's hesitant. And, you know, he's kind of going back and forth. Maybe a good 10 minutes after me saying, hey, let me pray for it. He actually allowed me to. So I went to go pray. Me, Ariana also laid hands. Joel also laid hands. And I'm like, okay, got done praying. I'm like, okay, go ahead, try it. And he goes to raise it up, not going slow. He just tries to shoot it up, see if it's okay. And he like goes up, and there's a reaction on his face like he's expecting it to hurt again. But as he was moving, he was like, I'm like, is it better? He goes, yeah, it's better. But at the same time, he's almost trying to deny like the healing that he received. So, Grandpa, if you're watching this, Jesus is real. But yeah, so he got healed. Again, we were there for maybe like another hour and a half before we had to leave to come back home. And I was just like, it's healed. You can't tell me otherwise. I know it's healed. So that was a blessing to see, for sure. And we got to also pray for my sister. I believe the first or second night that we were there. She has some heart problems, and we've been praying for her for the last maybe year and a half now, but we're believing in the Lord's report that she's going to get better. My message is pretty similar. It's called Keeping the Main Thing, the Main Thing. And of course, you know, the main thing is always Jesus and knowing him and having that relationship with him. So I'm going to be reading out of Matthew 14. Dan, if you could put that up for me, please. I'm reading out of Passion. Let me pull it up for me. I'm going to be reading verses 28 and 32. Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk towards Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and lifted him up and said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" And the very moment they both stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. So I love reading this. I love reading this story so much. It's one of my favorite stories out of the New Testament. And just because every time I read out of it, I feel like I'm getting something new. And I love this scripture so much. And I love the Bible so much because every time I read something different, there's always something new that the Lord wants to teach me. You know, I remember I went on a middle school field trip. And I remember this specifically. You know, we go to a coal mine because it's Pennsylvania. We have those over there. And I remember we had to dig out, you know, little crystals and everything. And when you got a crystal, you could see, like, the light shining, you know, on the crystal. And every time you turn the crystal, because it has multiple faces, you see different lights, different colors shining on it. And it reminded me of the scripture because that's just how it is, you know. There's a different light every time you turn to the scripture that will give you something new, that will give you a different color, a different perspective. So I want to break this down a little bit. You know, Peter is stepping out. And, you know, the way I see that, it reflects our walk with the Lord. You know, he calls us out. And in the Passion, I love it because it says, "Join me." In other translations, I know it says, "Just come." But in Passion, it says, "Join me." And the way I got my head thinking about it, the way my brain processes is, joining me means to have a relationship with him. Joining me sounds like he, you know, same thing when he went out to get the disciples. Follow me. Follow me. Let me teach you. Let me have this relationship with you. So, you know, that's what one thing I really loved about it. And, you know, Peter gets scared. Just like we do, we get caught up in a moment. Life happens. You know, trials happen. We see waves, we see winds, we feel the winds that are just blowing towards our faces. I don't know if you guys remember the storm last night, but when I was at work, the rain was sideways, literally sideways. So I'm sure people who were walking into the restaurant when I was at work were terrified that maybe they were going to get blown away, their kids were going to get blown away. But this is a beautiful thing to me, though. This picture is a beautiful thing to me because as Peter was sinking, I want to take another pause. Peter was a fisherman when he met Jesus. He was in the environment that he was comfortable in. He knew that environment. He was used to fishing. He was used to being on the boat. He was used to being on the water. But he got scared. He started sinking. And the moment he started sinking, you know, as a fisherman, I would hope that he knew how to swim. But you know, as he's trying to swim, as he's trying to survive, he calls out to the Lord. He says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't get up in my own strength. I need you to help me." And again, this is so beautiful because this is the main representation of love to me. Whenever I read this scripture, I'm just reminded of how much Jesus loves us. He doesn't complain before he picks up Peter. He doesn't say, he doesn't do that with Peter. He just reaches out to him. And another thing that just that blew my mind when I was reading this, getting ready for this message that Dan assigned to us, the Bible doesn't say how far Jesus was. It doesn't say how far Peter was. It doesn't say how far Peter walked to get towards Jesus. All you heard was Peter started sinking because he was afraid, and Jesus immediately lifted him up. In scripture, it says immediately he reached out to Peter, and they stepped out. And that's just so amazing because no matter how far, it doesn't say a specific distance either, no matter how far that, you know, we have to go towards the end of knowing Jesus, he's still with us. He's still very much with us. And, you know, as Nayeli was singing Hunger at the end of worship today, I pace around. That's my version of worship. I pace around. And I got this vision of me and Jesus just walking together. He has his arm around me, and, you know, I'm telling him everything that's going on. And I'm letting him know, like, hey, this, like, you know, I'm dealing with this right now. But because I see him and I'm calling towards him, you know, that's us bringing his name into every situation that we have. So that was just a beautiful sight for me. And, you know, I want to give you guys another example, but the opposite. You know, keeping the main thing is important. And I'm so grateful and blessed to be a part of a church that, you know, that does the main thing. But long story short, we had gone to a church service, and they were focused on games. It was Super Bowl Sunday. Pastor was great. Pastor was wonderful. His message was wonderful. And, you know, they had like a halftime, I guess you could say, because it was Super Bowl Sunday. And they ended up playing games. Worship was on. They cut worship a little short. It just felt dry. And, you know, after being part of a church that, you know, follows Holy Spirit, does what he wants, it was like an eye-opener. You know, this church, our church, it was very much in a bubble that I like to think of. But I'm blessed to be a part of the bubble. I'm happy to be a part of the bubble. I had that vision earlier, like right towards the end of worship. And, you know, I kind of wanted all of us, as I'm closing out, to kind of do the same thing. So if you guys could just close your eyes for me in this last minute of me being up here, I want all of us to think of that same type of vision, you know, walking with the Lord. Doesn't matter where it is. We could be on the beach when the sun is setting. We could, you know, be on the sidewalk or even on the treadmill. And I want us to just, you know, speak to him. Whatever comes up, whether you feel like there's not a certain part of your life or any circumstance that you haven't given to him yet, I don't want you guys to just talk to him, because I feel like he's just there to listen to us. He's not there to tell us right or wrong. He's not there to judge us. But he's just there to listen. And he just wants his presence to be our comfort. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love, your comfort. We thank you that there's no judgment in your presence, that you don't judge us, that we're able to come wholeheartedly, raw, vulnerable. And you just give us the right words today. You give us this comfort. We thank you that no matter how many times we read the scripture, no matter how long we've been saved, there's always something new that you want to bring to us. So we thank you again, Lord. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Vic. Don't burst my bubble has a whole new meaning. I didn't ever think of this as a bubble, but I like my little bubble. And I was thinking for a minute, when did you go to another church? You were out of town. I get it. Okay. And strong men need Jesus. Vic got saved because Paul worked at a gym, a powerlifting gym. And so all these guys did powerlifting. And Paul kept wanting to leave the gym and go get another job. And God kept saying, stay, stay, stay. And he kept witnessing and witnessing and witnessing. And soon, what was it, 15 people? Eight? There were 15 people there. Okay, about eight people ended up getting saved of the employees that worked with him at the powerlifting gym. So strong men still need Jesus. Nayeli Foz is coming up. You know, in the body of Christ, we have gifts, and you see the gifts on display. We let God flow freely. But in Exodus, it talks about the bells and the pomegranates around the hem of the garment of the priest. And so we don't just have bells, you know, the things that show up and look glistening and gold. We have pomegranates, and that speaks of fruit. And there are times in the body of Christ when it's very disappointing, when people who operate in gifts don't also show fruit, and the character is not there. And there's been a lot of exposure the last year or two or three in the body of Christ where the character that should be evident in many well-known people's lives is not there. And it doesn't match their gift. And so then it casts an aspersion even on the gifts. And so Nelly was hearing about that, and her sermon has a little something to do with that. But, you know, the heart of Jesus, sometimes we can feel his heart. And so he is grieved, actually, when he sees this happening. And we can be too. But even in the midst of it, he will still bring us joy and get us back on a level playing field.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, church. Woo, I'm nervous. Give me some grace, okay? Thank you, Cammie. Okay, so today we are going to be looking at 1 Samuel 16, 4 through 7. If y'all want to turn with me in y'all's Bibles, that would be great. I'll wait. I'm just kidding. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said, "Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Today, I have come to tell the church that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? We so easily concern ourselves with our physical attributes, our status, our own agendas, our motives. But none of it matters. We build our foundation on what we look like or how we can fit other people's views of us or how we can fit in, or we look for comfort in other people as well, or even in our gifts. We do that as well as a church. And I'm only saying because I've been there too. So, but the Lord cares about the contents of your heart. He's interested in your character, in your motives, and in your spiritual state. He's interested in the reason you come to church. He's interested in the reason you give tithe or you don't give tithe. He's interested in the reason you preach the word or you don't preach the word. He's interested in the reason you jump on a Sunday service or you don't jump on a Sunday service. You know, is it a fear of man that's keeping you from jumping or moving or wiggling around a little bit? Are you worried about what your your peers are going to think of you? Or are you jumping because other people are jumping and this is just the churchly thing to do, you know? why are we doing what we're doing? We don't think of this sometimes. The Lord knows the depths of your heart. The things you think that you hide so well, I'm going to tell you, he knows about it. We need to know that it's important for a believer to withhold nothing from the Lord, no matter how ugly the thought, no matter how embarrassing the action or the situation, no matter if it wrecks your status or what other people think of you, no matter how long you've been in disobedience. That's embarrassing too, but the Lord's just glad that you came back to him. Amen. I think the church has kind of gotten away to practicing with going to God to things, and that's the only way we see breakthrough. So I just wanted to highlight this strategy. Because the world tells us, you don't say anything. You keep it to yourself. Nobody wants to hear about your crying. Nobody wants to know about your hurts. Oh, you got hurt by that one person? That was like 10 years ago. Why are you bringing it up now? But the things that we hold on to and the things that we believe about ourselves, they take root in us. And eventually, when the pressure's added on, we'll crumble or we'll break. Or the truth of the ugliness that we were trying to hide comes out in the end. So it's like trying to save you time, guys. Just tell the Lord things. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The Bible's saying go to him. Go to him for every need, every desire, everything that's confusing. We can trust him. We serve a faithful God. We serve a loving God. He will show up for us and straighten out our paths. What you submit yourself to, you will be delivered to. Submit to the Spirit, you'll be delivered to the Spirit. Submit to the flesh, you'll be delivered to the flesh. And let me tell you, no one is an exception as well. You see, we get a platform or we get a some amount of people underneath us or a little small group or a big group, and we think we no longer have to be accountable. We think we no longer have to go to the Lord the same way we used to go to him. But no one is an exception. The second you start thinking you are an exception, you'll fall. That's why we have leaders in the church, pastors, ministers, worshipers, being exposed. Because the Lord will not stand for injustice happening in his house. They didn't take the time to get before the Lord and wring out all the contents of their heart. And this came back and bit them in the butt. They were delivered to the flesh. God is calling you to a life of surrender. And in the eyes of the Lord, there's no faking or fooling him. So where we think we're fooling our peers, and maybe you are fooling me, I'm not Jesus. You can't fool God. He looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen.
Thank you. How long have you been fully serving God? No, that's okay. You can be anywhere.
Yeah. I would say for about like 3 years, sorry. Three years and a half, yeah.
And you went back and forth for a while?
I went back and forth in a while, yeah. I was, yeah, stuck in a state where I was hiding things on the outside and my life wasn't looking like things that I was saying or how I was worshiping in service. So
you're talking from experience?
From experience, okay. 100%.
That's good. Preach what you know. Preach what you know. Ariana, come on up. Represent the whole Sangale clan.
I don't know about the whole Sangale clan, but all right, if you insist. So hi, if you don't know me, my name is Ariana. I sing right there on Sunday mornings. So today I will be in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So I figured I'd start off with a little story. There once was a man who was on a Disneyland trip with his family, and so they stayed at a nearby hotel. The hotel was really nice, the lobby was beautiful, but the best part was that they had a coffee maker and a coffee jar that was free with the room. Every morning, their mom would brew a pot of coffee so everyone could enjoy a quick pick-me-up before their long days at Disney. But the second day came around, Dad wasn't feeling so well. So instead of going to Disneyland that day, he stayed back at the hotel to get some rest. The third day comes, everyone drank the coffee, but this time, the dad did not. But he felt well enough to enjoy that day at Disney. The fourth day came around, everyone started feeling a little sick, but they noticed their dad was feeling better. Again, they drank their usual morning coffee, except for the dad. Finally, the fifth day came and everyone was throwing up, nauseous, sick with a fever, except for the dad. The mom asks, "Why are you not sick? Do you know something that we don't?" He looked at them and said, "Trust me, it's better if you don't know." After going back and forth for 30 minutes, the dad finally gave in. He sighed. "The day I stayed back at the hotel when you guys went to Disneyland, I saw a rat crawl in and out of the coffee jar." So can I get a show of hands? Who's heard of the phrase, "God gives his toughest battles to the strongest soldiers"? Please tell me y'all have seen that. Yes. Or the phrase, "I'm just waiting to receive my reward in heaven." Or, "Everything always happens for a reason." Or, in my opinion, the worst one of all, "What you don't know won't hurt you." There are a lot of beliefs as we humans in our brokenness have made that are unbiblical, untrue, and leave you off worse than you were before. But imagine if every person would be withholding truth that could save someone else's life out of fear. For the first portion of my life, our family lived this way. Not because we thought we were perfect or it was right, but because we followed the path that was modeled before us. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." For a long time, my dad, although he was a Christian, he felt empty. He was depressed, he was filled with worry, and he was ready to go home to the Lord to receive his reward. Because he knew that Jesus was real, he knew that his faith was assured, but what he did not know that there was a better way to live than how he was living, until someone showed him. His name, I will never, ever, ever forget, was Dr. Cecil Cockerham. He was an older man who had white hair slicked back. He wore bifocals, and he would always wear polo shirts or button-ups to church. He was always very, very well put together. But the reason why I remember his name so well is specifically because of VBS, or Vacation Bible School. He played a character on stage. He introduced himself in this crazy getup, marker all over his face, dodgeballs stuffed into his sleeves as biceps, and he said his name, flexing with a lisp, "I'm Dr. Thiefel Cockerham." One day, he got into a deep conversation with my dad. He said, "Phil, you know there's more to it than this?" And my dad, being skeptical, was like, "No, this is it." And I knew in my dad's mind, he was like, "This guy must be crazy. What is he talking about?" Because in my dad's mind, to think that there was more was like grasping for air. But Dr. Cecil Cockerham showed my dad one incredibly important thing that my dad was missing. He was missing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This one man Dr. Cecil Cockerham changed the course of my family's life forever. Without him, we would have stayed where we were at. We would have been broken, hopeless, and empty in our religious thinking that was taught to us, probably thinking that we were right. Everyone here today can see the effect of his work, because without him, none of my family would be here. So now you, my fellow believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's your turn. What are the things that you have believed that are unbiblical and untrue? You may be asking, Ariana, how would I know what beliefs are unbiblical and untrue? Step one, read your Bible. Woo! Every day, whoa! But not out of religious obligation. And what I mean by that is don't do it just because you feel like you have to. In John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to meet with you personally, he wants to know you intimately, and he wants to be known by you intimately. And he is calling you back to himself. Step two, ask God. It's so simple, I promise. Lord, would you reveal to me the beliefs that I have believed that are not true? It's so simple, but all you have to do is ask. In James 4:2b, it says, "Yet you do not have because you do not ask." A wise man named Dan once told me, be honest with God. God, I'm scared and I don't know what I'm doing. The Lord loves your honesty and he sees your heart. Step three, we got all these believers. Everyone is in their pursuit with Christ here. I love the church because we have each other. We have fellowship. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Get around other believers that are in the same pursuit as you. And someday, you too can be Dr. Thiefel Cockerham.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome, y'all. I think we need to call this like Young Lions Sunday or something. I'm like, that was, oh my gosh. I've said it every single morning, y'all. I can't wait till the next one. Like, wow. I am so blessed. We are so blessed. God, we thank you so much for the body of Christ, the way that you weave us together, the way that you put us together. God, thank you for vulnerability and transparency. God, thank you for people being willing to ask those questions and to let you answer and then be willing to share. God, I thank you for Phil and his family. I thank you, Lord, for all the families that are here, the husbands and wives and grandparents and parents and children and grandchildren. God, you are doing an amazing thing. Lord, we love you. Deliver us from every wrong thing that we believe. Show us every wrong thing that we believe about you, about ourselves, about each other, and help us to be brave and courageous and determined, God, to break agreement and to break ranks with all of those things. And Lord, let it spill out into our everyday life. God, I thank you for Dan and Alicia and their leadership. I thank you for Power Evangelism Saturday, God. I thank you for the extension of what happens in here, God, not staying in here. Lord, thank you that we're not just going to go out and do outreaches, Lord, but you're teaching us and you're helping us to renew our minds that this is what we do here on Sunday mornings is actually a picture of what you have for every part of our lives. God, I thank you for these people that, I hate to say young people, God, they're not teenagers, they're not kids, but God, thank you for their hearts. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for the way that you have ministered your body through your word, through so many different ages of people here today, God, in so many different formats, men and women, young and old. God, we worship you. We thank you for the body of Christ. You are on display here. And Lord, we do not judge or look down on anybody else, but we are thankful for our family. We are thankful for the bubble that we have. God, thank you that it's a good bubble, not a bad bubble, and it won't be burst. But Lord, be glorified and help us to carry the word that we've received here today and let it become flesh in our lives in every single way. Lord, we love you and we worship. We just praise you again, God. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo!